Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so glad that you have decided to join us on the first Sunday of August. My name is Hannah Scorer. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the service of the word this morning. Our music is performed by Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovason, with Shen Jones and Paul Stevenson on clarinet and trumpet, respectively, and Stephen Hollowitz as our music director. As ever, with us is John Gardy, our sound engineer. If you have not yet checked out our Sunday school videos, please do so. You can find them linked to our Facebook page on our website as well as YouTube. And now, I would invite you to take a moment to take a breath, to pause, and to prepare yourselves for worship. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your true and living bread, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he has also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it was equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Et sanguine.
Our holy gospel this morning is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us that bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The bread of life. That's what we're talking about this week. Apropos, to follow the actual feeding of the 5,000 in last week's gospel, and really, as you can tell, this is the continuation of that story. These are the events that follow that more, perhaps practical, display of Jesus' teaching. And so it makes sense that we start in the same way, with the crowd following Jesus. They've been fed, they've seen a miracle, Jesus left, and now they want to find him again. And they do. They get into boats and they follow him across the sea. But they're struggling. They still don't completely understand what happened in the previous text, so Jesus is going to unpack, deconstruct this sign for them. And it's not really what we think it all is. Now, we need a little context here, because to understand this text, we need to have a little discussion about last week and what was going on there. See, these people following Jesus, they're not your average temple Jews. They aren't religious patrons. They are just desperately poor people. The side of the sea that Jesus was on in last week's gospel, it's the wrong side. It's the unclean side. It's the side that good Jews don't visit. It's the side with the city made for trading with the Gentiles, and it's a 1% city with a fabulously wealthy, tiny minority and a huge economic disparity. The prices of bread on this side of the sea are astronomical, and they are rising fast. These people who gather to hear Jesus, they're not just hungry because they've gone all day without food. They've gone weeks without food. They're homeless and unemployed, and they've probably resorted to all kinds of things just to survive. So this is who Jesus is feeding. And this is who is following him now. And they ask him two questions that I think most people have asked at some point in their lives, a point where you are scared and desperate, a point where you're uncertain and you feel lost, where trust is low and suspicion is high. They ask Jesus, "What do we have to do to get more bread? What do we have to do to earn more works of God? What are you asking of me?" And they ask Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us? How do we trust you? How do we know that you are who you say you are?" And who can blame them for feeling this way? I know I have. But Jesus tells them, "You saw the sign, and all you have to do is believe." Now we could wrap it up here. And I could spout out some platitudes about how great a guy Jesus is. And you just have to believe. Isn't that easy? but I think it does a disservice to the gospel to do that. Because I don't know about you, but that's not good enough for me. To just say believe and act like it solves all your problems. I feel like that crowd. How do I know though? What am I believing in? And I think our answer is really in the previous gospel reading, because we, like the crowd, didn't really understand the sign. See, most of us know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a pretty well-known biblical story. And as Keith offered us last week, there are at least a couple of ways of interpreting it. A miracle of God, with Jesus supernaturally dividing the loaves and fishes into enough food to feed everyone, or just the plain old miracle of generosity and human compassion. But what we miss in all of that is what Jesus actually does, the acts that he performs. They're extremely important to this narrative, and they're pretty significant to what he's saying here to the crowd. He tells them to sit down. The actual word used here is recline, which to our ears doesn't mean much. But in this context, reclining is something that you are invited to do at a banquet. It's the posture of a fancy meal. It's not an outdoor picnic. Jesus is inviting the crowd to a feast. He's changing the perception of this meal from one of desperate hunger to one of a jubilant party. Then he takes the bread and he blesses it. This is the act of a host. The head of a household. It's an act of welcoming a beloved guest or a family member. These aren't just charity cases being fed scraps. Jesus has made these people who are wanted, people who are valued, people who are celebrated. And then lastly, he breaks the bread and he serves it. And again, to our modern ears, that's nothing. But at that time, a man would never do this. This is the work of a wife or servant to divide the bread and pass it out. This is an extreme act of humility. It is a public act of serving. And in these two simple and often overlooked actions, Jesus explains everything. The sign isn't the grand miracle itself, however you want to explain it. It is this, that the kingdom does not look like the empire. It doesn't have a hierarchy. It doesn't place value on those who have wealth or power or privilege. All are welcome at the feast of life, and it says to us that those who would lead must be both father and mother, host and servant. We are not working for the bread that perishes, but the bread that is eternal life, not miracle bread, but the miracle of the kingdom coming near. A new way of living, one with compassion and generosity, with humility and grace, one that is welcoming and embracing of all people. This is the sign. This is what Jesus is telling us. Not to believe just to believe, not to believe because we saw something supernatural happen. In fact, it's not even the word belief here, as was importantly pointed out in our Wednesday group. The word is actually trust or faith. This is what you can trust. This is where your faith can reside in the fact that there is radical love working in the world, that generous and humble people can make a huge difference. That we are not about a dogmatic list of beliefs, but the real actions of Christ in our lives. The real actions of all of us who call God our Creator. Amen.
Christ there is no east or west, in Christ no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Now meet both east and west, in Christ meet south and north. All faithful souls are joined in one throughout the whole.
And now I invite you to join with me in saying our affirmation of faith, the Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now let us pray to the God who loves us, knows our needs, and provides for us. As the traveling people of God, we pray for a deepening hunger for the things of God and a loosening grip on all the wants and expectations which prevent us from moving forward in God's way. Feed us, Father, with the bread of life. As brothers and sisters with the whole of creation, we pray for respect and reverence among people, regardless of wealth or status, for responsible sharing of resources and consideration for the natural world of our fragile and beautiful planet. Feed us, Father, with the bread of life. As we prepare and eat our food each day, we pray for those who grow and manufacture it, distribute and sell it, shop for it and cook it, and for those with whom we share food. Build us up with your spiritual feeding, which sustains us forever. Feed us, Father, with the bread of life. As we ask for daily bread, we pray for those who are physically starving, for all who hunger emotionally or try to survive on spiritual junk food, for those who mistrust God's feeding. Feed us, Father, with the bread of life. As we remember with love those who have journeyed through physical death, we pray that, nourished by the bread of life, they may travel on eagle's wings into the brightness of eternal life. Feed us, Father, with the bread of life. As we grow increasingly aware of our spiritual hunger, we give thanks for the wonder of God's feeding throughout our days. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let the fire.